Blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. About 2 weeks ago, when we meditated upon Proverbs chapter 2, we learned that the fear of the Lord is through the receiving of God's word. In Proverbs chapter 2, this is what the Bible tells us in verse 5, "If we receive God's word, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." So the understanding of the fear of the Lord is gained through the receiving of God's word. And now we come one full circle. Because what we see over here this evening in the passage which we have read is that in the fear of the Lord, there will be a hearkening to God's word. When you put these thoughts together, what the Bible is telling us is that when we know God's word, we will know God. And the more we know God, the more we will fear Him. And as we fear the Lord, it will make us wise and it will want to cause us to hearken and to keep God's word. And this is the emphasis in Proverbs chapter 1 from verse 7 to verse 19, where the Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord gives us this wisdom. And the fear of the Lord will cause us to hearken and to cling on closer to the word of God. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, this verse is what we call an antithetical parallelism, where the first line is contrasted with or by the second line. In the first line, the Bible tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And in contrast with this, the Bible says, "But fools will despise wisdom and instruction." So what is this knowledge that the Bible speaks of here? It is explained by the second line. This knowledge is wisdom. This knowledge is instruction. And the wisdom that is described here describes practical wisdom. Wisdom that has practical value and that is relevant to each one of us in our daily lives. Instruction here describes correction. It describes rebuke. It describes warning. And the Bible tells us, when you put these thoughts together, what the Bible is telling us is that when we receive the word of God, we will learn, we will understand the fear of God. And the more we increase in our fear of God, we will increase in wisdom, we will increase and we will hearken unto the instructions of God's word. We will cling on closely to His word. Hence, the Bible declares the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We need to understand that the Bible is not merely a book of moral instruction that originated from man's philosophy or from man's ideas or from man's mind. Some unbelievers may even make reference to the book of Proverbs, where they would quote certain passages from the book of Proverbs. For example, they would talk about how faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy, they are deceitful. Even an unbeliever may quote scripture references like this. But to them, these are just all philosophies for life. It is just an idea. But for the believer, we do not merely look at these instructions and the truth of God's word in such a manner. To us, these are not just merely philosophies of life, but it shows to us God's absolute standard. It reflects the holiness, the justice, the goodness, the truth of God. And as we understand the instructions of the word of God, we need to understand it in light of the relationship that we have with God, where we want to keep all the commandments of God's word because we love God, because we want to seek to please Him. For an unbeliever, they do not have this relationship with God. And so to them, even though they may quote certain references from Scripture, to them, these are just but sayings, just like other sayings of men. But for the believer, this is not just but a saying of men. It is neither just a moral truth that is from the mind of man. This book, the Bible, it shows us how we can relate to God, how we can fear Him, how we can love Him. Hence, the Bible is really for those who love God, who seeks God. And when we seek God, and when we seek His Word with the fear of God, then the Bible says it is the beginning of knowledge. Now, practically speaking then, what is this knowledge? What does the fear of the Lord bring to our life? What does it give to us? And there are three things we want to see this evening. The first thing we see is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge because it makes us receptive towards God's instruction. How is the fear of the Lord the beginning of knowledge? Verses 8 and 9 tells us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge because it will cause the believer to be receptive to the Word of God. In verse 8, the Bible says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." Over here, the writer makes a very solemn appeal to his son to hearken to the instruction and to the law of God. And this is the law of God that is imparted to the child from his mother. And so the Bible is here showing us that these parents, they are parents who are wise in God's word. And they are parents who have the fear of the Lord. And now in turn, these parents who have the fear of the Lord are instructing their children in the same fear of the Lord. This shows us how important it is for parents to have the fear of the Lord. Because if parents do not have the fear of the Lord, how will children learn the fear of the Lord? Now over here, it speaks first and foremost of the parents' responsibility, both of fathers as well as of mothers. If parents do not take the responsibility to instruct their children in the Word of God, then who will? It is not to be left to the church or to the Sunday school to take on the responsibility to teach God's children the fear of the Lord. Now, no doubt God has given the Sunday school this responsibility to teach children God's word and God's truth, but it's not left to them alone. This responsibility is to be taken up by the parents themselves to teach your children to have the fear of the Lord, to teach your children that God is near them. Sometimes parents today, they wonder, why is it that youths no longer hearken to my instruction? Why is it that youths are so stubborn and rebellious? If they do not fear the Lord, they will not fear you. And the only way where you can teach them to honor your instruction and your advice and your counsel through the Word of God is if they learn and they know the fear of the Lord. Do parents instill upon their children the fear of the Lord? Parents will not always be with their children. There will come a time where parents, or rather children, will leave their parents. There will come a time where parents can have no longer any control over your children. They will become faster than you. They will become stronger than you. They will have their own mind. They will become independent. You may set certain rules, trying to instill certain habits in your children through their formative years. But what is the basis of these habits? What is the principle behind all these rules that you set for them? Is it just because this is your way? Is it just because this is your culture? Or is it because you are the authority and so because you say so, they have to listen? Do you teach them the fear of the Lord? Do you instruct them in the law of God's word? Where the children would grow up, even when they hear your instruction, when they hearken to your command, they know it is because they have the fear of the Lord. And they know that these commands are given because you also fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord must be the basis for the reception of instruction from God's word. In fact, this is also what the church must instill upon God's people. Sometimes I do hear a little bit of murmurings and complainings even among God's people. where they say that the church is full of do's and don'ts, full of rules, full of regulations, and the church is very legalistic. Now, one possible reason why God's people may feel that way is because they do not know why they have to keep these commands. Why are there certain rules? I believe that the church, as best as we can, we must try to explain to them the principle behind why we practice what we practice. And everything that we do in our worship, in our own personal life, it must be from the fear of the Lord. Please know that in the instruction of God's word in this church, as best as we can, our motive, our desire is so that in the learning of these truths, you will increase in the fear of the Lord. It's to build your relationship with God, is so that you can honor the Lord and please Him. These commands and these rules are never an end in itself. The moment whenever a person says something and gives a command as an end in itself, when he says something because he says so and he quotes himself as the authority, then we have practiced the kind of religion that the Pharisees practiced in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is not what the church is doing, and this is also not what the parents at home should do. Teach your children the fear of the Lord, because the fear of the Lord makes us receptive to instruction. But there's also an instruction to children. It is not just merely the parents who instruct children, but now the appeal is also to the child. To the child to have the fear of the Lord. And when you receive the instruction through the mouth of men, sometimes through teachers, other times through preachers, and also through your parents, when you receive instructions through the mouth of men, and when you find and you see that this is indeed the truth of God's word, never just merely receive it as from men, but receive it as from the Lord. And know that in the disobedience to these words, and in the rejecting on this of these words, you are not rejecting men, but you are rejecting God. Children today need to receive the word of God in the fear of the Lord. And when they do not have the fear of the Lord, that is when their hearts will become hardened. When you listen to the words that are coming out of this pulpit, do you receive it as from and with the fear of the Lord, as from people who fear the Lord, who love Him, who want to honor Him, who want to please Him? If you merely receive it from a critical mind, trying to examine every sentence of it, every statement of it, of course, evaluate it in light of God's word, but if you are merely trying to examine it because of your pride, then have you received it in the fear of the Lord? Now, this is a great struggle for youths today. Because at times, youths today do think that adults are outdated. Sometimes young adults also think that they are more sophisticated, they are smarter, they are more up-to-date than adults. And this concerns matters of life as well, not just merely technology. They think that they are more up-to-date with the culture, with the times. And people have already moved on, so we also must move on. So sometimes youths today, they think that they are very smart. And one of the complaints that they have is that parents are naive and unable to understand the ambitions, the dreams that youths have, the zeal and the energy that youths have. But do you realize that such an attitude does not reflect the fear of the Lord? Because no doubt, parents may have experiences of life of a previous generation. But if their instruction to you is not merely their experience, if their instruction to you is not merely their opinions, if they have been instructing you in the fear of the Lord, then you cannot accuse them for being naive and outdated. Because the truth of God's word is always current, it is always relevant. And so when youths, when your parents instruct you in the word of God, hearken to it in the fear of the Lord. See it as coming from the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge because it causes us, it softens our hearts that we would be receptive to the Word of God. And do you see how beautiful this receiving of the Word of God will be? The Bible says in verse 9 that the receiving of the Word of God will be an ornament of grace around or upon thy head and chains about thy neck. It would be beauty. The hearkening of God's Word would be a person's true beauty. And this is a beauty that is priceless and that is lasting. One of the most precious things that parents can leave behind for their children is the counsel of God's Word. That would be beauty for them. And one of the most beautiful things that youths can put on would be the counsel of God's Word. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge because it makes us receptive to God's Word. And the Bible goes on to show us why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, King Solomon will then describe this truth and apply this truth in a very practical way, where he would examine the time and he would look at the habits of young people. And I believe that this is his observation. This was what he saw in what was going on around him in society and in the city. This was his observation. And now he says, how does the receiving of the Word of God give us knowledge? He explains this because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge as it protects us from men's enticing ways. Why does the fear of the Lord give us knowledge? Because the fear of the Lord will protect us from the enticing ways of men. From verse 10 to verse 14, Solomon now presents the enticing ways of men. First of all, he says that these are sinners. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. The fear of the Lord helps us to recognize sin for sin. It helps us to see sinners for who they are. People may use different terms to describe sinners. They may try to use different words to cover up sin. But when you have the fear of the Lord, you will recognize sin for what it is. No one can hide in the glory of God. No one can hide themselves in the holiness of God. When we see who God is, the truth of God, the justice of God, the righteousness of God, it shows sinners for who they are. So the Bible now tells us that we can see sinners for who they are. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. But we can also know their motives. Now, what is the motive of these sinners? What is the motive of their enticing ways? Their motive is to entice. And the word to entice here means to deceive, lead astray. At times, this enticement can be through flattery, words of flattery, but their intention, their goal, their purpose is to get you to join together with them. And this joining together with them, their enticement, is towards violence and crime and hurt. You see that in verse 11. The Bible says, look at what they entice them to do. Come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us look privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole. Now, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge because it shows all of these things to us. We can see the motive of men's enticing ways when we take heed to the instruction of God's Word in the fear of the Lord. Now, as the word entice suggests, sometimes these enticing ways are very subtle. And by the nature of deception itself, because it is deceptive, it is oftentimes also hard to spot. If it's easy to spot, then it will not be called deception anymore. And this is one of the greatest dangers, even for those whom this truth is given to. Many will not feel that they are the ones being enticed. Many would often feel that they are not the ones being deceived. Maybe someone else is deceived. Maybe someone else might be led astray, but it would not be me. And do you realize that such a person would be the most vulnerable? A person who thinks that he's one who will not be enticed, who is one who will not be deceived. But what can guard us from this? constantly keep ourselves in the fear of the Lord. See, such a person who thinks that I'm not the one who will be led astray or deceived, he takes confidence in himself. He thinks that his resolve is strong. He thinks that he's determined enough to resist temptation. But if he trusts in his own resolve, in his own determination, he will fail. What will keep him is the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord will guard us and protect us against the motives of these sinners. But this is not the end, because the Bible also goes on to tell us, look at how they will try to entice us. What is the methods that they would use? And again, the fear of the Lord guards us against these methods. Here, the Bible says, one of the methods that they would use is to give you a sense of acceptance and a sense of belonging. You see this in verse 11. The Bible says, if they say, come with us, join together with us. And in verse 14, cast in thy lot amongst us. Let us all have one purse. Is this not the method that is used by the devil today, used by the world today to lead many astray? Nobody likes to feel alone. Nobody likes to feel left out. Even though some may say that, oh, I'm an introvert, I like being alone. But really, sometimes when you see people gathering together, especially when you think that they are your good friends, and when you think that you are actually rather close to them, and then they gather together for an activity or for an event, and then they just do not invite you or do not call you or they forget about you. Are you sure that you really not feel anything? Nobody likes to really feel alone all the time. Maybe sometimes, yes, we need some quiet moments to be by ourselves, but nobody likes to feel alone all the time. And this is what the world would give to us and sinners will entice us with. A sense of belonging. Join together with us. Be amongst us. Be a part of us. And when you join together with us, we can help you to gain more. Sinners will entice you with this. What will guard us against these feelings of loneliness? The fear of the Lord. You fear the Lord more than just the fear of being alone, of being left out. What if the whole world is against me? What if the whole world stands apart from me? What if the whole world is heading on a different direction? And now you stand alone. But if you know that the Lord is with you and you know that you stand upon the truth of God's word, you fear Him, then you can say that though the world would forsake me and leave me, I still have my Lord with me. The fear of the Lord guards us against this method of men. The fear of the Lord guards us also against another method. See, what the sinners will entice you to is with greedy gain. In verse 13 and verse 14, the Bible says, they will promise you with plenty, with much material gain. We shall find all precious substance. We will fill our houses with spoil. Now, the Bible summarizes this kind of lifestyle and attitude and motive as in verse 19, they are greedy of gain. So what will these sinners entice you towards? To have a big purse. And who is not easily enticed with gain? Every one of us will have a weak spot. There are some who may not be enticed with physical wealth or money, but to you, a gain may be a particular hobby, a particular thing. Those who are in the habit of collecting certain collections, their weakness, their weak spot would be this one item in their collection that has not been found yet. And they just want to get this final item to complete their collection. Sometimes what will people give and what will people do just to complete their collections? This is why, you know, oftentimes collectible items, they can become so expensive. When you find out what is actually its inherent value, there's actually very little inherent value in many of these collectible items. But it's because it's rare. People give value to them. And this may be the weak spot of some. And the devil knows what is our weakness. The devil will use these things to entice you. Are you greedy of gain? what would guard you against this method? The fear of the Lord. You would fear the Lord more than the love of money. You would not love money. You would fear the Lord, and you will not think and worry about what if I have lack. At times, this greedy of gain may even begin because they just desire to survive. They are not initially, they do not start. Many who are greedy of gain do not start being greedy of much gain. They just initially want a little bit, maybe just to have a more comfortable life. Maybe just to have a secure life, just to provide for the future, my education of my children. It all begins like that. But then soon, they are addicted to it. They have been enticed, they have been hooked. But what would guard you from these things? The Bible calls this the cares of the world. It is the fear of the Lord. It guards us against these methods of men. My friends, please do not underestimate how enticing greedy gain is. When you read the news, you see so many people who fall into scam. And there's one reason why these scams work is because of the greed of men. You read of people who invest in properties overseas and things like that, and then they lost thousands of dollars because of all these scams. All begin with the greedy of gain. What would guard us? The fear of the Lord. Now, another method that these sinners would use is excitement. And if you're not enticed by much gain, then they would use this excitement. You look at the tone over here. In verse 11, the Bible says, let us join together with us. Okay, let us. And then in verse 12 again, the Bible says, let us swallow them up alive. And then in verse 13, the Bible says, we shall find precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. When you look at these verses, you see that there's a sense of excitement. There's a sense of thrill. And if gain in itself is not what you're looking for, maybe your weakness would be thrill. For many Christians, they look for an adrenaline rush. Many of these extreme sports that are really so extreme and so dangerous, why do people enjoy it? Because of the excitement of the thrill. And oftentimes when they experience the excitement, they want to relive the excitement over and over again. They want to enjoy the thrill again, the rush again. And of course, there is this kind of effect where once you have enjoyed it, it does not become enough anymore. And so you want to do something else more extreme to gain back the same kind of thrill that you experienced the first time. And sinners often would entice you with this. But fear the Lord. What should be your excitement? What should thrill you? Is there not a hymn that says, all that thrill my soul is Jesus? What should excite you? Isn't it fellowship with your God? What should satisfy you? What should complete you? Isn't it your walk with God? See, the way we can guard ourselves against these enticements of sinners is the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge because the Bible tells us we can not consent to these things. Right? The Bible says in verse 10, My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't be agreeable to it. Let it be settled in your heart that you will have no part with sinners because your part is with the Lord. The fear of the Lord protects us from the enticements of sinners. And this is why it is wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is also the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of knowledge. Because it shows to us the results of the enticements of sinners. It shows to us the results of greedy gain. Verse 15 to verse 19. Verse 15, the Bible says, my son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path. Why? Because this would be the consequence of walking with them, of being in the same path. Now, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge because it shows us the true end of man's pursuit. It shows us the end of greedy gain. Many often, when they are pursuing after these things, do not realize the end that they are heading unto. Many do not realize the consequences that awaits them. Maybe they may know it. Maybe people have advised them and warned them. But if they do not have the fear of the Lord, they do not see the consequence and the judgment as from the Lord. Who will catch me? Who will find me? I've gotten away with this so many times. Look, I have enjoyed these things. I've put my life at risk and I'm still here. I'm still alive. Will death catch up to me? Will the Lord catch up to me? I've evaded all of them. I'm so powerful. I'm so smart. I'm so fast. This would be the thoughts that sinners would have. But when you have the fear of the Lord, you would realize you can never run away from God. Be sure your sin will find you out, the Bible says. And these sinners, they were planning and they were plotting, they were manipulating. And now the Bible pronounces this judgment on them. The Bible says in verse 16, their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood in what they were doing. But what will happen to them? Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. The Bible here uses this illustration to show that the methods, the motives, the plot of these sinners will come to nothing. Just as the net is spread in front of a bird, when the bird sees the net spread in front of it, it will not fall prey. It will not take the bait. So now the Bible uses this illustration to say that the methods of sinners will come to naught. Why? Because God is in control. And of course, here this illustration must also mean that for you, make sure that you consent not to these ways of sinful men. And the only way where we can have the wisdom and the knowledge to be able to see through the motives of these sinners, to be able to expose their deceptive methods, is when we have the fear of the Lord. Then they are really like those who will be spreading their nets in front of you, whose traps would be useless. And the Bible says, look at the consequence of their ways. In verse 18, they lay wait for their own blood. They look privily for their own lives. Now, this is an irony because in verse 11, you look at the words that are used in verse 11 and verse 18, they are actually the same, right? In verse 11, the Bible says, come, let us lay wait for blood. But now the Bible, in a twist and a turn of events, says they lay wait for their own blood. And then the Bible says, let us look privily for the innocent without cause. But now the Bible says they look privily for their own life. Christians do not believe merely that things will run its own course. Christians do not believe in fate. We do not believe in karma. We believe that there's a God who is just, a God who is in control, a God who sees, and a God who will judge. We are accountable for every action that we take, that we make, every word that we speak. Do you think you can run away from the law? Maybe on earth you can run away from the laws of men. Do you think that you can be a hypocrite, pretending, putting on a front before one person and putting on a front before another person? Do you think you can pretend and hide yourselves from men? But God is judge. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge because it guards us and it helps us to see what is the end of these sinful ways that men would pursue. So don't pursue after these things. Does not the Bible really warns us and reveals to us all the different consequences of sin, how terrible sin is, the destructive ways of men? In fact, in the book of Proverbs itself, you just read through the book of Proverbs. The Bible, the book of Proverbs tells us so much about men who tell lies, who speak words that would hurt, that would kill. The Bible warns us of the consequences of that. The Bible warns us of the consequences of pride. If you remain in your pride, you head on down that way, you see how destruction will come to you. The Bible warns you. The Bible warns us of greedy gain, of wealth. The Bible warns us of not taking heed to counsel. The Bible warns us of all these wicked ways and what will happen if we continue pursuing after these wicked ways. So the Bible tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It shows us man's end if they continue heading down this path of sin. They lay wait for their own blood, and they look privily for their own life. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of their owners thereof. God's justice will come upon them. But why is it that though many know this truth, they are still greedy of gain? Why is it that many, though knowing this truth, will still join in the company of these sinners and will still fall into their snare? Because they have forgotten the fear of the Lord. They have not hearkened to instruction. They do not have knowledge because they have forgotten the fear of the Lord. How often is when we forget the fear of the Lord, we forget that every word spoken, every thought that we think upon, it is before the Lord. How often it has only led to our own hurt. How so much hurt can be prevented if instruction is hearkened unto, if the fear of the Lord is in our hearts. So would you fear the Lord? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, because it will cause us to be receptive to instruction. We will see the truth that is in God's word as coming from God himself. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge because it will protect us from man's enticing ways. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge because it will help us to see the end of greedy gain. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fear the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, Thou art our God, and in Thy word Thou hast taught us how we can fear Thee, how we ought to fear Thee. And O Lord, we pray that Thou wilt constantly teach us through Thy word the fear of Thee. We thank Thee how the fear of Thee is such a precious thing. For fearing Thee, we would hearken to Thy word. Fearing Thee, we would not readily be enticed by sinners. Fearing Thee, we would be fearful of the terrible end of sin. And so, Lord, we pray that Thou will place this fear in our hearts, that wherever we are, wherever we go, whatever position we are in life, every moment of every day, we will constantly fear Thee. And how precious this fear of Thee is, for this fear is out of love, is out of a desire to please Thee, is a desire not to bring grief and hurt to Thee. O Lord, we pray that Thou will place this fear in our hearts. For what a precious thing this fear is. May you keep these words in our hearts, for we pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.